minutes after 10 o'clock on KMHL this morning. In time for Good Gardening, brought to you by the Greenwood Nurseries. And Tracy and Marshall and Jeff Farber, the owner of Greenwood, is with us this morning. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Heath.
How you doing?
Great.
Good, good.
A little bit of rain this morning.
How much did you get down in Tracy, you know?
Well, a couple, I think maybe a quarter inch right in Tracy, but I live east of town or a mile west of Walnut Grove, and I'm sure we had an inch at least.
Yeah, that's right.
It just poured.
Yeah, 4.5 miles north of Tracy, somebody called in and said they had about an inch in just under 20 minutes or so.
Yeah,
so.
I left and it was pouring down rain, and it rained hard, and I saw in the fields the water was running pretty fast and furious down the road. So my son-in-law came in a little later, and he had 9/10 where he lives, and that's 2 miles west of Walnut.
So. Sure.
Yeah, it rained. It was a nice rain. You know, it was dry enough. It soaked it up, I'm sure. Or will most of it, anyway.
So. Yeah, that's for sure. We need the water.
In Tracy, we just had about a quarter, I think.
So. Okay. All right. Very good. Well,
you were already up here, I suppose.
Yeah, it was. There was one shower that kind of passed to the east of Tracy early this morning, and then the one that moved through this morning a little bit later on after sunrise. So, yeah, I didn't have anything in my rain gauge when I left, but I'm sure there'll be a little there when I get home.
Yeah, if rains are this time of year, you don't want to push them away.
That's the truth.
So
I'm going to have to water my tomatoes, hopefully, when I get home today.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have kind of a question and answer type of a show today on the whole. It's just kind of one of those times of the year where everybody's kind of established, but there are still a lot of questions that are being answered and asked. And, yeah, it seems to be always the case. And, of course, we do welcome phone call questions, too. If you do have a question or problem in your yard or garden, we'd love to hear from you this morning. 532-9626 or 532-9627, and we'll put you on the air with Jeff and get your questions answered here this morning. Otherwise, he's got a long list of questions here that we're going to try to tackle here as well. So if you're thinking about something, it might be on our list. If not, just give us a call and we'll get you on the air with Good Gardening, brought to you by the Greenwood Nursery and Tracy and Marshall. And I have a feeling that flashing red light here is going to be some phone calls and questions about what's going on in yards and gardens across our listening area. So let's go right to the phones to start the day this morning and say good morning. You're on with Jeff.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Good morning.
Hi. You know, last year you mentioned something about something you spray on your tomatoes so they don't get the black spots and stuff, but I don't remember what it was. I was wondering if you could repeat it.
Yes, it's the product that we have at the store. It's a Fertilome product called Broad Spectrum Fungicide. You apply it to your tomatoes, and it typically lasts a week to 10 days or you have to reapply it after a rainfall. So, but it.
Okay, let's see. What was the name of it again?
It's called Fertilome Broad Spectrum Fungicide.
Fungicide?
If you go to the store and ask for a fungicide for tomatoes, they'll know what to give you out there. So.
I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks for calling.
You bet. Thanks for the call this morning. Another caller on Good Gardening. Good morning. You're on with Jeff.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Good morning.
What causes my geranium leaves to turn white or yellow?
There can be different factors that could have a fungal issue on the leaves. Do you notice any like yellow or brown spots to start with before they turn yellow?
They just turn yellow.
Turn yellow.
And then they die.
Okay. Is a soil being kept too wet, do you think?
Okay.
They don't need as much water as some other plants will, and if they're too wet, they're going to rot or get root rot on them easy, and the first symptoms you'll see are the leaves will start turning yellow, and then they eventually just rot away or die. If you can pull the stems right out of the ground, that's probably what's happening.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I have another question.
Oh, sure.
What can I do with them nasty squirrels?
Lead poisoning.
That's the surefire way. If they're in your pots, or like we've had a lot of people tell us that they get into their pots, they dig their pots, you know, flowers out of their containers, that type of thing. I've had some ladies tell me that what they've done is they've gone and bought a bag of Lavarock, and they sprinkle that on top of their pots around the foliage of the plants that are in the container. And the squirrels don't like digging in it because the Lavarock has got sharp edges to it.
Oh, Lavarock.
Yep. You know, like the Lavarock you use in the bottom of a grill, gas grill or whatever. and they, you just make a, you just kind of put a layer of that, you know, one layer deep of rock so that the squirrels won't be digging into containers. And everybody that's told me they've used that says it works really well. I have not tried it, but a lot of customers have, and they say that it does a good job.
That won't do it.
How about chopped up briquettes?
Briquettes won't do it either, will it?
What's that?
Charcoal briquettes?
No, not those. It's got to be that lava rock, because that's
gotta
a
be lava
that's
rock.
A pumice, and it's a hard rock that's sharp on the edge. If you've ever picked up those rock, they've got a sharp edge to them all the way around. So a squirrel, when it's digging, could you know, maybe cut its feet or paws on it, though. So, so I think that'd be the best choice.
No, I think the lead is a better idea.
Well, yeah, the lead will work best. That's definitely, if you're a good shot, that'll take care of them.
All right. Thanks for the phone call this morning.
Well, thank you.
You bet. So there you go. A little comic relief with it, too, every once in a while. Those buggers, though, I tell you what, we'll talk a bit more about some other problems, too, but... you know, we planted our beans and our peas and rows, and boy, they just come right out there and they stank
squirrels
them right
up.
So this is squirrels.
Squirrels, really.
Yeah, and they dig a few of them out, and the rest of them, they've been eaten up by earwigs.
Yeah.
So.
Earwigs this year, you know, we've had them other years, and certain locales have been worse than others, but
sure.
This year it doesn't matter where you're at.
Yeah.
Everybody's got earwigs, and they are, you know, they are horrendous. They have got an appetite this year.
Yeah.
That, you know, if there was 100 of them last year, there's 1 million of them this year. You know, they're just thick.
Yeah.
And you can go out and your garden will be just fine 1 minute, and you go back an hour later, and it looks like they ate everything up. You know, they're just, especially, they only eat feed at night. You never
right.
see them during the daytime.
Yeah.
But it's just unbelievable how many people have had issues with earwigs this year.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. Like I said, other years we've had problems in different locales. It might be because of the moisture level or something, more rain or whatever, but... I just, everybody's got them this year. It doesn't
right.
matter where you live, or, you know, if you're at the lake, or if you're in town, or if you're in, you know, a farm site. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Everybody's got them.
Yeah.
And squirrels, everybody's got those too, but some guys are better shots than
That's
others.
That's true. Some guys live in town and can't shoot at them either.
Well, yeah, I know. That's that gets to be an issue, but... You know, you can use an air rifle.
That's true.
If
That's
you're
true.
A good shot.
That's right. That's
if you're a bad shot, then you're going to take out things that you shouldn't be. But,
I've got the church right near me. I don't want to shoot out any of those stained glass windows. I'd be in big trouble then.
You'd be in trouble there, yeah.
But High Yield 38 Plus does a trick on those earwigs, right?
That's one of the products that works good, and there's two or three others that we've got for different situations. If they're trying to keep them from going into the house, there's a granular product that you can put around the base. And I'm not going to go through the names because there's two or three products and
sure.
everybody will forget them before they get out to the store anyway. But if you go out to the stores, we've got the recommendations right there for them. And they can, if they've got an issue with the earwigs. I've read and been told that as the earwigs get more mature, they're not quite as hungry.
Okay.
They just eat more.
Right.
But no, they're not quite as hungry because their appetite has been suppressed because of their size, I
sure.
guess.
Sure, okay.
It's never bothered me. My appetite's
yeah, me
just as good. To, you know, I eat more now than I did when I was a kid.
Right.
I know, so.
But
no, they've been terrible this year.
Yeah.
I've had to replant some of my flowers And, you know, I've got one of them, you know, one of the questions that I had written down that came in this week is, what's eating my marigolds?
Okay.
It seems like the marigolds are their favorite crop.
Oh, really?
I don't know why. But everybody that's got marigolds, they strip the leaves off to the spines or the,
sure.
you know, the stems of the leaf, the blade itself, to the harder part, the center part of the leaf. They leave that. It looks like a skeletonized plant, you know, with all the leaves gone.
Okay.
And it's earwigs that are doing that too. So
huh.
It's always fun.
Yeah. I've got a couple of pavers that are in the backyard. One of the boys dropped, I don't even remember, one of his toys on him. All of a sudden, up out of the cracks,
oh,
these pavers
yeah,
came,
absolutely.
These earwigs. It was like, ah!
I had two bags of potting mix sitting in my by my patio that my daughter had brought home to pie up something for us, and she left them sitting there, so I was going to throw them in the back into my truck one morning
sure.
on the way to work, And I went to pick up the one, and there must have been 500 on the first one. I went to pick up the very bottom one that was on the ground, and I bet there was 1,000.
Oh, man.
It's like some out of a prehistoric movie.
Right.
You know, and if I was a little smaller, they'd been all over me. I know they would have.
Carried you right away.
It was just awful. Yeah. I just couldn't believe it. They were just unbelievable.
I'll get you some high yield. That works pretty good.
I spray. No, I don't see them quite as much.
That's a good idea.
Oh, man. Yeah. It was bad.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things we're talking about here. Lots of good questions on Good Gardening this morning. Jeff's heard a bunch at the store, and if you have a question you'd like to ask of us here on the program, you're welcome to call at 532-9626 or 532-9627. Questions on your yard and garden on Greenwood Nurseries, Good Gardening here on KMHL. Let's talk about, planting different plants because we're getting kind of close to the middle of summer here now. And in fact, tomorrow's the midway point of 2016. How late in the season do we plant?
And that question comes in, you know, all the time now. And really, if you planted it in May, you know, annuals, vegetable crops, that type of thing, most people have got them in the ground already. But if we're talking vegetables, there's another time to plant, and that starts to be around the first part of August.
You know,
for some of your cold crops.
Sure.
You know, the cold crops being your cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, those types of things. Those can be planted at that time of year, so you get a good harvest in the late summer, fall, you know, time season. Those kind of crops love it cool. So if you plant those in early August, you'll have a great crop come. And you can, at that time of year, you can plant those things right in your garden by seed.
Okay.
And you'll have a great crop of those plants in the fall without the potential of having the cabbage loper running around, the little green worms that get into the broccoli that's hard that's hard to get out. And when you have fresh broccoli sitting on your table and you happen to bite on one and you see half a worm in it, you know, you can avoid a lot of that in the fall crop. But as far as perennials, trees, shrubs, evergreens, all of those things can be planted all season long, all summer long. If you plant it in already, you still have to take care of it through the hot part of the summer, the dry part of the summer. If you plant in July, you've eliminated some watering, but you've got plenty of time to get the plants established. As our landscaping business goes, we plant till the ground freezes in November, typically.
Right.
And we plant all the way through the summer, and with the exceptions of some issues with some watering sometimes during the summer, people being gone on vacation after they've planted, these plants really know no difference if they're in the ground or in the container above the ground. We have a wide selection of plant material all summer long with our perennials, trees, shrubs, and evergreens that can be planted all through the season. So if you've got those projects out there that you, just because of your spring activities were too much to get everything done and your travel schedule didn't allow you to get some of the things done in May or June, you still have plenty of time to get all those things planted and those little projects done, or those areas around the yard where you've got a couple of overgrown shrubs that you've been meaning to get out, but now they're way too large to even make it worthwhile trimming. You can go tear those out and plant anytime, really. It doesn't matter. You know, our summers aren't as bad as a lot of summers are further south, and they plant all summer long down further south into the, you know, central and southern part of the United States. So it's just a kind of an old fallacy that you can't plant in the summertime, and it really is just that, a fallacy. You can plant all year long as you're able to give them a shot of water. And like I said, whether you plant in the spring or not, you still got to water them in the summertime.
I was going to say, that's probably a good transition into another question or a couple of different questions that we have, you know, be it new plants or old plants or plants that, you know, are somewhere in between. Talk about watering, because especially if, you know, we go with some stretches here in the summertime where we don't get a lot of rain, it really becomes important.
It does, and even as of late, you know, last couple of weeks haven't had a lot of rain.
Right.
You know, not especially as you get north of here, you know, even in Marshall or further north, it's not been as plentiful of rainfalls as it has been like in Tracy or further south. And so we've seen some issues with plants wilting or not getting as much water as they need. And it's important, all new plant material, whether you planted it last fall, this spring, or you're going to plant it this summer, a lot of these plants need to be watered minimal of one time a week. It's best to give them two or three times a week watering. And it's as simple as, if it's a shrub or a perennial, it's as simple as going out and watering it for a minute or two or three times a week.
Okay.
Shade trees can be, you can get by watering once or twice a week because you can lay a hose by that and let it run for a longer period of time.
Give it a
good soaking for, 2-3 hours with a stream of water, maybe the size of a pencil or your little finger or something like that. So the water can soak into the ground, soak around that plant, soak deep enough so that it becomes available to the root system that's trying to grow into the existing ground. So many plants are, when they're freshly planted, the only area they have any root system is right in that soil ball that was planted, whether it was in the container or the bag or whatever it might be that you planted. And so you've got to make sure the water is getting there. But as the plant starts to grow, it's going to seek moisture, and that's why you want to water a larger area around the plant. A lot of your landscape plants that are planted have mulch, either wood mulch or cedar mulch or rock and fabric. Those help hold the moisture in, but you still need to give them a good shot of water a couple times a week.
Okay. All right. Well, good to know. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that I think that's a root of a lot of problems in the gardening world
is
lack of or too much.
And typically in the summer, you don't have too much unless they're watering it every day. Plants don't need water every day.
Right.
It's better to give them an extra shot of water when you do an extra length of time, but then allow it to dry out a little bit in between waterings. So, it's one of the easiest things to do, but it's also one of the hardest things to do. It's a commitment that has to be made, but it definitely isn't that hard to do it.
Yeah.
It's just the time that it requires to get out there and do it, and remember to do it.
Yeah,
that's for me. That's part of my problem. I get busy. I'm doing 10 other things, and
right.
And oh darn, I should have got out there and watered that when I see it wilted. But a wilted plant isn't terrible as long as you can bring it back with water. But if it gets crispy on you, then you might have some troubles.
Sure.
And a stressed plant is more susceptible to insect problems and disease problems. So it's important to try and keep those plants maintained well and watered well, or watered as necessary. And if we get an inch of rain like it was by Walnut Grove today, nobody has to water over there today.
But right.
In town here, what'd they have? 2-3 tenths?
Hardly.
Yeah. A 2-3 tenths doesn't do much except settle the dust,
Right.
And it doesn't get into the root zone of any plant. It only keeps the surface wet. So those plants, it would be important probably to give them a shot of water before the weekend.
Yeah, you bet. So, especially if you're going to be gone for the weekend. It sounds like we're not going to have any more rain. It sounds
right.
Like temperatures are going to get up close to 90
right.
By the end of the weekend.
Yep.
Now, if you're going to be gone 3-4 days, make
yep.
sure you give them a good shot of water.
If you've got containers on your deck and you're going to be gone for a prolonged period of time, sometimes it's best to get a tray or a saucer and set these pots. If they've got, all pots should have drainage in them, especially if the ones that you've got outside. Maybe the gentleman that had the geranium problem, if it was too wet, maybe his pot didn't have drainage in it, and that's a huge problem with how do you dry out a pot that gets too wet. But
sure.
But most containers that are sitting on a deck or a patio should have drainage in them, and sometimes if they're going to be gone more than a couple days or so, it's advantageous to invest in some type of sauce or a bucket that might be big enough, or a dish or a tray or something that's big enough to set that pot in, fill the pot or fill the tray with water, and let that plant soak the water up from the base. And those are all going to help you keep those plants actively growing and healthy while you're gone for a prolonged period of time.
Okay, sounds good. We're taking your calls on Good Gardening 2 today. Brought to you by the Greenwood Nursery and Tracy and Marshall here on KMHL. Numbers are 532-9626 or 532-9627. If you have a question for Jeff today, let's talk about maple trees, because we notice some maple trees have leaves that are turning yellow already. People are a little worried.
Turning yellow or came out yellow. There's a lot of autumn blaze maples that have been planted in the last 15 years.
Sure.
And autumn blaze maples, we're finding out that if they're planted in a heavy clay loam or a very high pH type soil, They do not like that at all. And so when you drive around town, I had a lady contact me the other day, and she saw this beautiful yellow-leafed maple in somebody's yard. And she wanted to purchase one and wanted to know what the variety was. And I said, well, it's not supposed to look like that. It's got iron chlorosis, which is the reason why you see the yellow. And it's because the plant can't draw nutrients out of the high pH soil that it's planted in. And so if you've got a yellow maple in your yard, there's absolutely nothing that you can do. I've had them in my own yard. And I used to have three autumn blaze. And the only one that's doing well in my yard is the one that was in good black, heavy soil, black loam soil, where it can still draw the nutrients out and the pH isn't quite so high. But the ones that were planted in a clay spot have died, they've been dead for 5 years probably now. But
sure.
I tried everything. I tried adding acid to the soil. I tried using an acid fertilizer. I tried everything that the books say you're supposed to try, and it doesn't work.
Okay.
I'm going to tell customers just to save their money. If you've got a yellow or an autumn blaze maple in your yard that's yellow, and even some silver maples we see it on too, especially in high alkaline ground, there's absolutely nothing you can do to treat that soil enough to make that tree happy and healthy. And so eventually the tree will die, and that's the sad part about it. People have got 5, 6, the problem is none of this shows up for the first 4 or 5 years.
Right.
It's usually after the tree has got established, it's growing well, fairly well, and that's when you start seeing the problem. And City of Marshall's planted many autumn blaze, especially along Country Club Drive going west out towards the golf course. The ones in the good soil by the Armory and a little further west are doing fantastic. The ones they planted further out along Country Club Drive, where it's more clay soil, where the theater used to be, the drive-in theater out there used to be, most of them have succumbed to the fact that they're in too much clay and have died. Sure. And been taken out. So it's a great tree in the right soil. The key there is you need at least a 1 to 2 feet of good black loam below you to be able to be successful with that tree. So
okay.
What we try to recommend at the stores now is if they're going to buy that tree and take it home, which it's a beautiful tree in the fall, and
oh, yeah.
Everybody wants it, and it's a gorgeous tree for a lot of people in their yards that are being successful with it. But if they've got, what I tell customers when they want to buy one, I said, first thing you need to do is go home and find out how much good black loam you have in that area where you're going to plant. And if you don't have, more than, if you got less than a foot, you're not going to be happy with how that tree looks in 10 years. So,
okay.
So that's one of the questions we hear a lot, especially this time of year when these trees are turning yellow, and what can they do for them? There isn't
sure.
Anything you can do.
Okay. So. All right. Good to know. Another caller here on Good Gardening. Good morning. You're on with Jeff.
Yes, good morning. I have a maple tree, a red crimson king. It's got to be 10 years old. A couple years ago, it had got the teeth galled, and it is missing bark on the south side. It looks pretty dry, and there's a fine crack there now. Any type of a sealant I could put on there to seal that up? Keep moisture in?
No. What's happening is the sun scald bark that's there that's dead is flaking off or trying to. What you need to do is remove that dead bark and open that up so that you don't have insect, working underneath that dead bark. So the best thing you can do is go out there with a sharp utility knife or jackknife or something like that and try to find out, loosen up all the, take off all that old dead bark that's on that tree on the south side. And you'll find...
That's been done.
What's that?
That has been done.
Okay. Well, then if that's been done, just leave it alone because it'll eventually, you'll see the new bark that's trying to heal back over that wound. And eventually that'll close up on its own. So the crack that you're seeing is from the heartwood. It's just the fact that it's dried out a little bit. Don't worry about that. There's really nothing more that you can do if you've got all that cleaned up and keep it free of any dead bark or anything like that. So just let it heal over on its by itself, and The paints and there's tar and that kind of stuff don't do a bit of good. They probably would do more damage than it'd be good. So just leave it open. That information has come from the university in the last 5 to 10 years. They've done a lot of testing and trialing of different products that might help it. And their theory is just to leave it be, let it stay open, let it stay clean, and eventually that tree will heal over and it should be just fine.
Not even like a tile cover, like those black rubber things to put over to keep the heat off of it or the sun?
Sunscald happens in the late winter, early spring, when the temperatures start to warm up and then freeze rapidly again at night, and that's when the damage starts on those trees. And it's typically on the royal red maples, any of the smooth bark maples and locust, lindens, and mountain ash, those types of trees is where you see it. The tree protection in the wintertime is always advisable because you don't want it to happen again. So you can put the tree protectors on, the tile, whatever you've got that you're using, put that on in the late fall and then take it off again in the spring. Just repeat that till that tree heals over and gets a more woody, corky bark to itself.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's doing fine. It's all filled out real pretty and nice. So
yep.
I'm watering it. So
well,
it's doing good.
You did the most important thing by getting rid of the dead bark. That's the best thing you could do for it.
All right. Thank you much.
Thank you for calling.
Good call there on Good Gardening from the Greenwood Nursery and Tracy and Marshall. Another caller here for us this morning. Good morning. You're on with Jeff.
Hello.
Hi there.
Good morning.
Hi. I'm sorry. I have two questions for Jeff. We have these huge black ants in our yards, and I don't know if they're, you know, can cause harm, but our backyard is super bumpy because I think they have little tunnels all over. Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Where do you see the black ants? Are they in the lawn, or are they on a tree, or are they on...
They're actually on the trees and on the patios and there's a lot on the trees, too.
Okay.
But, you know, I can see them in the lawn, too.
Yeah. I don't know that the ants are causing any problems with bumpiness in the yard. I think that might be more night crawlers that have created those bumps in your lawn. Ants by themselves aren't necessarily harmful to trees or shrubs or evergreens. You know, if these are the big black ones, they're probably burrowing into dead wood somewhere on the tree or into a shrub, or rotten wood, that type of thing. That's what they like to live in. And ants, you know, are more objectionable to people than anything. Like I said, they don't, the ants that we have in this part of the country don't really damage things. They're only going to affect, they're there because they got a place to live.
That's good to know.
And I don't think you got to worry about spraying them. Their ants are good for a lot of things in the environment, unless they're objectionable or they become a pest for you sitting on the patio. And they, you know, a lot of the ants don't bite, but some of them can. It's not like we have the ants that they have down south, the fire ants. And
issues. Yeah, these are just
They're pretty benign as far as what they do to plants and stuff. They eat a lot of aphids that are on plants, that type of thing, or go after the excretion, what aphids will expire out their back end, that type of thing. They love that kind of stuff, but they're usually not harmful to plants themselves. So.
Okay, great. And last fall or late summer, we bought one of the hydrangea trees from you. Now, should that be blossoming? Or because my Annabelle is, you know, full of the blooms, but I didn't know about the hydrangea tree.
The hydrangea tree is a different type of hydrangea. It's a PG type of hydrangea, paniculata type hydrangea. They don't typically start blooming till mid-July.
Okay.
So
great.
A couple more weeks and you should start seeing flower blossoms form on that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Another good call here in Good Gardening from the Greenwood Nursery and Tracy and Marshall. We welcome yours as well today. Let's talk about tomato plants because we had one call about the black spots on tomatoes earlier. How about the leaves that are curling up? Is that similar?
No. Right now, with the uneven moistures that we've been getting, if you get a good rain and then it's dry for a couple weeks, and then you get a good rain, or if you water and then you let it dry, and you water and you let it dry out too much. I won't say that you shouldn't let it dry out, but what happens, it's a cultural thing that happens called tomato leaf roll. And it almost looks like these tomatoes have been sprayed because the leaves are curled upwards.
Sure.
But they're not wilted. It's just a matter that the leaves are rolling, and it's a natural thing that happens, especially we get a lot of calls this time of year on it. And it's basically from infrequent watering.
Okay.
Or infrequent rainfalls.
Sure.
Tomatoes are heavy feeders, and they use a lot of water. And so if you've got that situation going on where you see that, don't worry about it. You know, go out and water your plants good a couple times a week, just like we talked about on some of the other things. Try to get an inch of water on your garden every week. You know, if you're using a sprinkler, you know, put a rain gauge out there, or put a tuna can or something like out that, so you can gauge how much water you're putting on. If you're going to just lay a garden hose in there, let it run slow around each plant for a couple hours. Let it soak up the area that you've got it in. And then do that once or twice a week, depending on how dry or hot it is. The problem will go away. The tomatoes will flourish. You shouldn't have any other issues with them as far as that goes, next to, you know, possibly tomato blight, which is a common problem by August every year, it seems like. But tomato leaf roll is not harmful to the plant. It just makes it look odd, and it's very correctable.
Okay, very good to know. Let's see. Now we talked about the earwigs eating things like, you know, my beans and marigolds and things like that. How about things like squash, melons, pumpkin, some of the vine crops?
We've had a lot of calls on that in the last week and a half. The Colorado potato beetles, or potato beetles for short, are furious.
Okay.
They're aggressive this year. I don't know. It's been a good year for bugs. I don't know if it's because of the more mild winter we had, or the wet conditions we had this spring, or just what it is. I'm not an entomologist. I just know what we see.
Okay.
And it's been a lot of questions on their leaves on their squash getting eaten, the leaves on their melons, pumpkins getting eaten, and it's the Colorado potato beetle. I'm sure that people have got it on their potatoes and their tomatoes too. It's a little green spotted type bug, about a quarter to a half inch long, and it's got an appetite for those kinds of leaves.
Sure.
Easily sprayed. There's different products that work well. It just depends on if what you're into, but that's something we can give a recommendation on at the store if they've got that issue and want to use a chemical spray for it. Cultural things to do is go out and pick them off by hand.
Okay.
You know, they're visible enough to see. Sometimes they can be very plentiful. You might be picking for a long time, but I've heard people, you know, use some homemade remedies to try and keep them off, and I don't know how successful they are or not, but I know there's chemicals that will work on them and do work, and that's what a lot of people will use. But they can stop out, and we'll give a recommendation at the stores for that if they decide to do that. But they're out there, and that's what's causing the holes in the leaves for the most part.
All right. How about, you know, you talked about the hydrangea plant the lady was talking about a minute ago. Blooming flowers, are there different problems with blooms this year that say maybe we're behind or ahead or anything like that?
Not any different. What we had a customer in, and this has happened a couple times in the last week. They bought some hanging baskets and took them home. And they one had a hanging basket, one had a container that they were putting on their patio.
Okay.
And they were looking beautiful at the garden center, at the nursery when they picked them up. And they've had them home, and they looked really good for quite a while. And now they're basically, the foliage is healthy, but there's no flowers.
Sure.
And so we did some questioning, and it found out that the baskets they got were for full sun, and they put it in a shady spot.
Ah.
So the foliage is green, but they lost the sunlight to help keep producing flowers.
Sure.
A couple other things that it might have been, had we not questioned further, and if people have this situation in their own yards, is fertility. Because you're watering that plant more regular, some plants need to, you know, have to have the fertilizer to keep them blooming well. And some of it was some times it could be overwatering.
Okay.
The first thing that will abort on a plant that's overwatered is the flowers.
Ah.
And so, you know, most times with a container, you're not, with good drainage, unless you're watering that thing every day and not allowing it to dry out in between times, you shouldn't be able to overwater a container.
Okay.
That's above ground and that type of thing. But this situation, the two situations that I'm talking about specifically, was the wrong container of flowers for the spot that they had.
Sure.
So they're going to switch it out and get a plant that's going to work better in the shade.
Okay.
And so that's an easy fix to a common problem. And sometimes they buy based on what they like and how it looks at the garden
right.
center and don't remember where they're really putting it in their yard. So,
okay.
But there are a couple other factors that could be into play. And those are things that if they've got those questions or they've got those issues, just, you know, stop out to the store. We'll be glad to try and figure it out. And sometimes we can do it right in the store. Sometimes I have to make a house call and take a look to see what might be the issue too. But we do that a lot during the course of the spring and summer and fall, and we're happy to do that.
Okay, very good. So come on out to the nursery, full stock, a lot of different things that will beautify your yard and garden, maybe your deck or patio too, and some big sales on right now too.
Yeah, we've got through Sunday, actually. I think the ads say through July 3rd, but I think Sunday is, yeah, or July 2nd, I think is what the ads say, but actually through Sunday the 3rd,
okay,
we've got 50% off on all the annuals that are remaining, and if you need those little fill-ins to finish planting your garden, or you've got a few things that haven't done well in the last month or so, you know, you can get them really, really reasonable right now.
Okay.
And then we've got perennials. You can, if you get some spots in your perennial garden, you can save some money there. You can buy three of them, get one plant free. So basically, you're getting 25% off on all the perennials. And we've got our pottery and home decor type products for decorating in your yard and on your patio. All that's 40% off here through Sunday. So
okay.
We still have our extended hours at both stores through Sunday. And we're closed on Monday.
Okay.
At both stores. We're going to, everybody, except for the guys, like some of us that have to water on Monday, but it'll be a short day for those too. But we'll be closed Monday, and then we start with our summer hours starting on Tuesday.
Okay.
And so our evening hours will cease to exist. We'll be open from 8 to 6 at both stores Monday through Friday. You know, we'll be open Saturdays from 8 to 4 and Sundays from 11 to 3. So
okay.
Our hours will change a little bit. So check the website. Give us a call if you're not sure, and we'll be glad to take care of any questions or problems you have.
All right. Sounds good. Well, we wish you guys a great 4th of July weekend. Enjoy it, and we'll look forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks.
Well, you have a good 4th too, Heath, and all the customers and all the listeners out there. We hope you have a safe 4th also.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Jeff Farber is the owner of the Greenwood Nurseries in Tracy and Marshall. Joins us every other Thursday throughout the growing season with this program, Good Gardening, once again brought to you by Greenwood Nursery in Tracy and Marshall. Thank you.